You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
They are nicking our shit. They totally are.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. Next up, we have Sam Smith with a report on Māori TV history.
Thanks, Mac. Yes, Victoria University Associate Professor in Media Studies Joe Smith has just published a new book looking at the history of Māori television. The book titled Māori Television, The First 10 Years, shines a light on the complex dynamics underpinning state-funded Māori media. In the process, it also offers 5 frameworks to help understand Māori television as an organisation and how it operates within a wider non-Māori context. Earlier, I spoke to Smith, and I began by asking her what she explores in the book.
The book is based on research conducted between 2012 and 2015, where I interviewed Māori TV staff and Māori media commentators and academics and language advocates, as well as audiences. I did that in order to get a sense of how Māori TV has managed its conflicting objectives to promote and protect language and culture for the revitalisation of te reo Māori, tikanga, to also appeal to a broad audience and to also provide an entertaining and educated television. So that kind of objective that Māori TV has to meet under its legislation in 2003, I thought was quite a complex array of challenges, and I wanted to find out how they actually manage that. So their book offers 5 different frameworks for thinking about Māori TV. It argues that it's more than simply a media organisation, it's also a language learning organisation. So it's basically a toolkit. The book is a toolkit for understanding the complexities of Māori TV.
Now, you say in the book that Māori TV was originally set up to protect and promote te reo Māori, mingā, tikanga Māori, to inform, educate and entertain, and thus to enrich New Zealand society, culture and heritage. Do you think overall it has managed to achieve these things?
Yeah, I think the, as I said, those challenges are really, really large ones for a television organisation to meet. And if you think about the decades of Crown neglect in relation to te reo Māori and its obligations under the Tiriti of Waitangi, Māori TV is charged with a whole lot of responsibilities that perhaps should be, you know, carried more generally in other sectors of society, including the education sector. So if you think about the effectiveness of Māori TV and language and cultural uplift, I think it's been an invaluable tool. I think that we need to take a longitudinal attitude to it too. We can't just, gauge its effectiveness in the first 10 years. And the book is simply a snapshot of that first 10 years too, just to give audiences and readers an idea of the complexities and challenges faced by the organisation. But I do think it has been an invaluable tool to complement other sectors, and other language organisations.
How difficult do you think it's been for Māori TV to operate within what is largely a non-Māori broadcast environment?
There are quite a few challenges to work with minority media forms such as te reo in a pervasively monolingual English dominant culture. New Zealand society is incredibly monolingual. And so in the first instance, you have to deal with the language question. How do you actually popularise and make informative, entertaining, good-looking television, good-sounding TV using a minority language? So that's the first challenge when everyone's so used to, speaking in English. And the second challenge, I think, is that we understand media historically, and those people who have made media have been global media makers. So what we think is good-looking TV or good-looking or good-sounding radio or good-looking film are kind of like the result of norms established by non-Māori media makers, not just Pākehā, but more globally. And New Zealand's media has been deeply influenced by the UK and the US, and it continues to be influenced by these global norms. So I think it's an incredible challenge for Māori media makers to make good-looking Māori media that also honours the integrity of Māori culture.
Hmm. Do you think Māori TV has managed to address some of the problems around getting Māori stories into the media and having Māori voices tell those stories?
So, there's been a great increase in terms of the amount of Māori news stories on television due to Māori TV's establishment, but there is still a great need for more Māori in the industry and also for more culturally literate non-Māori journalists, I think. You know, so it's the burden or the kind of the opportunities of understanding things from a Māori perspective are also opportunities that should be taken up by non-Māori journalists, I think, in order to help invigorate New Zealand's news media cultures.
What about the role the channel has played in exposing Pākehā audiences to te reo and Māori culture? How important has this been?
So a lot of the feedback that we got in the interviews and from focus groups talked about the amazing function that Māori TV has. It's a cultural bridge to non-Māori to understand or to share understanding and to expand non-Māori understandings of how, you know, iwi work, how history of particular places are, what kinds of practices occur throughout the country by Māori. So it's certainly been a really big cultural bridge for increasing and enhancing the understanding of things Māori in this country. But we still have a long way to go in terms of really getting to grips with how the norms of Māori culture can become the norms of New Zealand culture.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving forward, given the media climate we live in, particularly with commercialisation and integration of media companies, do you think Māori TV's public broadcast status is under threat?
Well, I really, in the book, I take a issue, I think, with those who call Māori TV public service TV. It certainly is, you know, educative, informative television in that mode. But most importantly, we have to remember that Māori TV is the result of treaty-based activism.
Yep.
So its status is much more than simply that. It's a public service media provider. It's actually a taonga. It's a treasure. So it's also another example of how Māori activism has benefited the nation as a whole in general too, because Māori TV is probably one of the very few providers in the New Zealand media landscape of international art house cinema, documentaries, informative and marginal kind of points of view that have been portrayed on Māori TV for the benefit of the nation, and as such they're a treasure.
So just finally, how essential is it then that Māori TV continues to survive and thrive and expand even into the future?
Oh, I think it's really, really important that we have as much diversity in our media scapes as possible. We can see today in the dominance of, you know, global media outlets and those corporations that kind of saturate our minds, that, kind of occupy our attention. Is a whole kind of commercial pervasiveness that needs to be pushed against. So Māori TV offers one of the very few pockets of quality, informative, educated television, and its diversity and its ability to help set Māori agendas within the national and international media scapes is a crucial, it's a crucial public good, really, and a key aspect of what it means to be a citizen of Aotearoa, I think.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.